from Corpus Christi, them. He found out Jesus Christ while he was studying in China. When he was 19 years old, studying Chinese at Nanjing University. So I just asked him, he could still remember some Chinese because studying over there. But now, because in America, the language, if you don't use them, they will kind of fade away. So don't surprise that he has some language background, but now not that much as we expect him to be. So he was speaking English this morning. He has his family with him, his wife Crystal, and he has four beautiful babies. And another one is expecting. Wow. I was from a five siblings family too. Okay. So we're looking forward to listen to the word from God through you. Welcome.
Good morning. Some of you I already saw earlier this morning over in the Bible study. Some of you have met for the first time, and I haven't even met some of you yet, so stay around after. I'd like to talk and get to know some of you folks here. This is my first time coming. Pastor Philip, I want to thank you for the invitation to come here as well. It has been a blessing already. And we'll see what the Lord would have for us this morning here. Open up to Matthew. Chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, does this go off? Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. He was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we can understand nothing from your word unless you help us to see these things. Lord, we thank you for the clear teachings of Scripture through our Lord and Savior. And we pray that you would help us to dive into these things today, to draw out the depths of realities of what it is to have a foundation on the rock, as well as what it is to be on the sand and the dangers of those things. I pray, Lord, help me to rightly communicate and convey these things. Help the people here to be able hearers, Father. And then as we leave, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers also, Lord. It does us no good, Lord, if we just come and hear and go on unchanged. I pray you'd change us this morning, Lord. Change our hearts, change our lives, that we'd be more conformed to the image of Christ, walk more after you. And I pray, Father, just do a work here in all of us today. We're hungry for your word. We pray you'd feed us, for you alone have words of life, and there's nowhere else we can go. And we just pray your spirit be among us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have Jesus ending his Sermon on the Mount. I'm not quite sure where this is best positioned. He ends his Sermon on the Mount, which is often called the Manifesto of the New Testament Christian. You guys know what a manifesto is? It's kind of, this is how we're going to live. You have the Communist Manifesto, other manifestos of this is what we stand for, this is how we're going to live. And at the very end of it, he says here this contrast. Based on what I have said, what you do with my teachings, what you do with me, Christ, will directly affect you for this life and the life to come. And there's only two options he gives us. You either build on the rock or you build on the sand. You're either a wise man or a foolish man. You either weather the storms and the house stands, or the fall is great and it crumbles when the storms of trials and finally of judgment come. And he gives no third option. That's one thing that's wonderful about the teachings of Christ and the apostles, is it's so very black and white. We live in a gray society today where everything's postmodern this and post-postmodern that, and there's no certainties. But the Bible speaks with certainties. Here's life, here's death, here's light, here's darkness, here's heaven, here's hell, here's the wise man, here's the foolish man. And here we have one of those great biblical contrasts again. Here is the rock and the sand. Here's the wise and the fool. And I want every one of us as we go through this to realize that he's talking about us. Nobody in this room is exempt from what Jesus is saying. Every one of us in this room is building on a foundation. And it's either on the foundation of Christ or the foundation of self. It's either building on the wisdom of God or the foolishness of this world. That might look like wisdom, but it's foolishness to God. Every single person in this room, in Port Lavaca, in America, in this whole world, is in one of these two categories. And it is absolutely essential that we determine, where are we? Are we building on a solid foundation in Christ, or are we building on the sand? Because I'll tell you, eventually it's going to be manifest. Eventually it's going to be clear, because we'll get further on in here, the storms are coming. The storms are coming in life, the storms of trials are coming, and finally the storm of God's judgment is coming on everybody. And it's going to show in that day where the foundation was or where it was not. And so I want us all just to realize the importance of this. We're all building on a foundation every day, whether it's in our family, our marriage, our life, our careers, our future, our Christian life, our ministry. We're building on a foundation of something. And it's absolutely essential we determine, are we building on the right foundation or are we not? And there's ways to know. Jesus didn't leave us without ways not to know that we're building on the right foundation or not. But it's absolutely essential because, as you guys know, if you build a building, what goes down first? You might have lofty ideas for a great church structure like this in a big building, but before you get to what everybody sees and uses and what is visible, you have to put in place what people generally don't see. What you're sitting on top of right now that's buried down in the ground. Hopefully if the contractor did it right, buried several feet down in the ground with iron inside of these things, steel girders and concrete and cement and a solid foundation that may not be seen, but the effect of it is seen. The very fact these walls don't fall in on us right now is testimony that they laid a good foundation for this building. The very fact there's not cracks going through here from the ground shifting, or that the windows didn't blow in when we had the storms the other day or two, is testimony to a good foundation in this place. That's the same with your life. It's the same with your life. You may not see the foundation, but you can see it in the effect of what comes after. It's absolutely essential to have the foundation right. And I'll share a story with you real quick. I'm doing a home remodeling project right now. We're building on another bedroom and bathroom because, as you can see, we got four kids and another one coming. Need a little more space there. And decided to take some time off of work and set some savings aside and do it ourselves. So generally, we dug the foundation out by hand, and we've been framing it by hand pretty much all by ourselves. And it's been a very important lesson. I'll tell you, we framed the house out in about a month. It took from December to April to get the foundation right. It took a long time. Why? It's hard work to lay a good foundation, just as it is in the Christian life. But it's important to lay a foundation. Because as we found, we got the foundation down, we had it set, we thought it was right, and everything was in place. We'd measured, remeasured, put our string levels out and everything, and got the piers in place, and everything was set and measured out just how we thought it should be. We started laying the frame on top of it for the floor. We noticed a little crooked in that corner there. But no big deal. It'll just adjust a little bit. Start putting the walls up there. This thing's off just a little bit over here. But no big deal. We frame around it. Wasn't that big of a structure where it was exponentially causing problems there. We get to the roof. Guess what? We start putting the roof on there. Everything starts drifting a little bit to the right. Everything's off by about 3/4 to 1 inch on the roof there. And if you guys know, when you got a roof beam, you got an inch and a half, and you have two boards that need to meet on there, and you only have 3/4 of an inch for each board. If you're off by an inch, what happens? You get 30 feet down, that board falls off the beam, and your roof is compromised. That's what happened to us. And I went back wondering, how did this happen? And a friend of mine, who he works out in the refineries, and he dug foundations before, I'd kind of put him in charge of doing it, and he said, you know, right as we were about to pour, I bumped the level down there that we measured just by an inch. I thought, I should go back and fix it. And he thought, that's just an inch. It's not that big of a deal. A little bit of a mistake in the foundation at the very beginning. By the time we got to the roof, it was a major problem. Major problem. Now, he didn't mean it, and we were able to work around it. It's not like we were building a commercial building or something. It's just a house. You can always frame around those things. But it was an important lesson that if our foundation in Christ is off even just a little bit, by the time you start building and building and building on that thing, you get higher up there, your structure's not sound anymore. Now things are off a little bit. What seemed like just a little bit of a problem at the beginning, you didn't deal with it, 1 inch. And what's 1 inch? It's this much. Now your roof's falling off. That's bad. That's the same how it is in our life there. You could have your foundation off a little bit, and it's going to be a big problem as you get further down. So I just want to talk about three things with you here this morning about our foundation. First, looking at the two foundations. Then we're going to look at the two builders of the foundations. Then we're going to look at the two outcomes. So again, we're just going to walk through it logically as Christ has it laid out for us here. The first thing says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So here you've got two foundations. One is a rock and one is the sand. What do we learn from that? What can we see from that? What is the rock? Well, we know the rock is Christ. The foundation is Christ, his teachings, his life, his example. The rock is what Christ has told us to do, how he has told us to live through faith in him. Obviously, we know that. We can go to 1 Corinthians 3 real briefly just to establish this point for us here so there's no confusion. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, this is Paul talking, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So here Paul saw the foundation of the Christian life, that rock being Jesus Christ that they're building their life upon. Paul saw that. He laid that foundation. He labored to do so. And then there were others who came into Corinth afterwards who were building on it, some building foolishly on it, some building wisely on it, and so on. That's another sermon entirely there. But the point is Paul is saying the foundation of the Christian life is Jesus Christ. That's the rock we see here. But why does Jesus use a rock as the term here? If anyone's laid a foundation before and you're digging down, what can you dig through and what can't you dig through? You can dig through mud, roots, and so on. You hit a rock, what do? You stop. The rock now dictates your foundation. The rock dictates how big that foundation is going to be. If you've got a big rock and you're trying to build on top of that, you're going to build where that rock is. The rock's going to determine where you're building that foundation, what you're doing. You conform your structure to the rock. You follow me here. You're conforming your structure to the rock. This is how it is in the Christian life. If you're laying a foundation on God's Word, it's not you're making God's Word fit your life and do what you want to do. Your life is being conformed to God's Word, to what Christ has said we are to do, to live. He uses a rock because the rock is unyielding. If we are to live as Christians, we are to submit ourselves to Christ, and the foundation we'll build upon is a rock that does not yield to us, but we yield to the rock. If we're to shape our life rightly, we're to shape it around the Word of God and not try to twist the Word of God around what we want to do. Because that gets to our second foundation. What is sand? What is sand? Sand is easy to work with. It's pliable. It'll let you do whatever you want to do with it. You want to build over here. You want to build over there. You want to dig a foot down. You want to dig 5 feet down. You can do whatever you want when it comes to the sand. You can build your structure however you want. The sand conforms to you. You don't conform to the sand. The sand will fit what you want it to do. This is the wisdom of self. This is a man hearing God's word, being a foolish man and saying, okay, I hear that, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do and build how I want to build. That's the life built on the sand, is the one who hears the word of God, and instead of conforming their life to that rock, they're now conforming the sand to their life. They're finding an opinion. They're finding an idea. They're finding their own belief. They may even have the Bible open in front of them, but they're twisting it to fit what they want to do. Their life isn't submitted to God. They're trying to submit God to their life because they have their own agenda and they want to build a foundation the way they want to build it. That's the rock and the sand. The sand is pliable. It fits around you. It lets you do what you want to do. If you're living a life like that where you see what God says, that you're making it fit what you want to do and you know that, you need to repent of that. You're building on sand. And eventually that sand's going to crumble out from underneath you. Next, you have the two builders. You have the wise man and the foolish man. So here, maybe compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, is the one who hears these words of mine and acts on them. 26, though everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. What is the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? Well, first, you could say it's the choice of their foundation. Yes, that's true, but how does Jesus draw the distinction out? One heard the word of God and did it. One heard the word of God and did not do it. They both heard the word of God. They're both sitting in church there. They're both hearing what Jesus is teaching, but they walk out. One goes this way, one goes that way. They hear the same thing. They might even agree with the same things. Might say, yeah, that's a good word from Pastor so-and-so there. That's a good word from Brother so-and-so. That's a good word out of the Bible. And they might both agree with it, but here's the difference between the wise man and the fool. One of them agrees with it and says, okay, that's right. I need to go do that. Another one hears it and says, yeah, that's right. I'm going to go do what I want over here. And they'd go build on the sand because the sand will let them do that. That's the difference between the wise man and the foolish man. One who hears the word of God and does it. This is real faith. If you call upon Jesus, what does he say? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But what does that mean? You say Jesus is Lord, and yet you live like he is not the Lord of your life. You're a liar, and you're calling him a liar. You're saying he's the Lord, but he's not the Lord. You're doing your own thing over there. Jesus said in Luke, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He said that. There are people out there running around saying, oh, Lord this and Lord that, and I believe you're my Lord. And what were they doing? Saying, Lord, Lord, but not doing what he said. This kind of goes back to our Bible study this morning, right? Here, you don't love in word only, but in deed. You say you love God and love Christ and love others. What are you going to do? You say that all you want, chatter away, but it doesn't mean anything unless there's action. You say you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're trusting in that for your salvation. Well, if it's true, he is your Lord. And if he's the Lord, guess what? You're not the Lord. You're not the Lord of your life. He is the one in control. His word is what you follow, not your own word and your own idea. That's what it means for him to be the Lord. If he is Lord, he is Lord, and there's only one Lord. It's not you. That's what he means here. There are those that James talks about. James chapter 1, verse 22. You guys will turn with me there real quick. Talk about this very thing. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. James is saying the same thing here. Look, don't just be a hearer of the word. It's good to read your Bible. But it's not good if you read your Bible and you don't go do what it says. It's good to come to church. It's good to come to Bible study. It's good to go to your youth studies there. But it's not good if you don't do what you hear. That doesn't amount to anything. All that is, you might be an orthodox fool, but you're still a fool. You may be a fool that understands basics about the Bible, but you're still a fool if you go away hearing the Word of God and not acting on it. And if there's areas of your life where you know God has said this, but you're saying that because you want to do that, my friends, repent of that. You're building on the sand, and it won't go well with you. Because what does James say? Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Yes, you want the blessing of God. I think we all do. Where does the blessing of God come from? One who hears what God says and goes tells everybody else about how great it is what God says, but don't do it? No. One who hears what God says and does it. Christian life is very simple. We can overcomplicate it. God says this, I go do that. God says believe in Christ alone for salvation. Okay, I'm going to believe in Christ alone. God says this is sin, don't do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. God says if your eye causes you to sin or your hand causes you to stumble, there's something in your life that's causing you to sin, what do? You cut it off. Jesus said that. It's radical repentance. He talks about these very things. Jesus says that lusting in your heart is adultery. Well, you stop doing that. You do what God says. That's the evidence and the fruit of the Christian life, building upon the foundation of the rock. Now, what is it about building a foundation for a wise man? Because here the foolish man didn't want to do it, and there's a reason why he didn't want to do it. Partly is self-interest, but partly it's hard work. You want to dig a foundation that's lasting, it takes a long time. Like I said, we started digging in December, and it was off and on. Obviously, got to go to work and do other things, but it was hard work, harder than anything else we've done in the house there. You had to dig down 4.5 feet by 2.5 feet, digging out through that mud, digging deep, pouring the concrete down there. Any foundation that is going to be solid has to run deep. Has to run deep. Or it's going to be shifted around by the storms and by the ground there. Has to run deep. And that's hard work. And you know what? Most people don't want to do that hard work. Do you know why? Because you can't see the foundation on this building here. There's no glory in a foundation. People want to jump into the Christian life and then run right ahead to all the things that are visible. I want to do this ministry. I want to go evangelize over here. I want to do this mission trip over here. I want to do all the visible things that people see so they can get the glory for it. They don't want to spend time in private prayer with God, digging a deep foundation with the Lord. They don't want to spend time going through the Scriptures, studying these things, going over the Word of God. They don't want to spend time in obedience to God when nobody else sees them, doing things that God has told them to do, but no one's going to really witness it. They don't want to do that. They're running after what they want other people to see. Foundations are deep and they're hidden. But you know what? You can tell who the godly man or godly woman is and the evidence and fruit of life. You can tell a deep foundation when you see what happens later. At the beginning, they may look the same, but as it is built upon, you're going to see what's rock and what's sand. Because eventually, you're going to get to in our last point here, it's going to crumble. But I want you to realize that the foundation is hidden. And Paul tells us, 1 Timothy 4, he tells us to take pains with these things. Go to 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So, of course, Paul is talking to Timothy, who was a church planter and an evangelist, involved in ministry, but this is applicable to any Christian. Paul and Timothy were to be examples to the church, and here's the example he wants him to be, one who has taken pains with these things, given attention to these things, to their life and their teaching, studying the Word of God to be an approved workman, studying, is this right, is this true, digging a deep foundation, is there a sin in my life that I know of, I need to deal with that, I need to walk as God tells me to walk, I need to walk in holiness and not in unholiness, I need to obey God and not do what I want to do. So to take pains with these things and to be absorbed in them. And what will happen? Your progress will be evident to all. You have a good foundation, guess what? You don't need to go flaunt that around or tell people, yeah, I spend this many hours in prayer, this many hours doing this. People are going to know. They're going to see something different there. They're rock solid. They get trials and storms and difficulties that come. They're not shaken like other people are. My friends, is that your life? If it's not, it can be if you build on the foundation of Christ. And if it is, dig deep. Build a deep foundation in Christ. Because here's the fool now. The fool doesn't want to do that. He hears the Word of God and he doesn't do it. And what is he doing? Well, he wants to lay a quick and easy foundation down there. He's taking a house, he's throwing some cinder blocks down there, stacking them up, bam, plop the house down, foundation's done in a couple hours, now he's good, he can go on and do whatever he wants to do. You know what happens when you do that to a house? About 8 to 10 months later, you can't open the doors anymore. Your walls are starting to crack. You can't open the windows anymore. Everything's shifting. Why? They ran ahead too quick. They didn't dig a deep foundation. They heard the Word of God and they didn't do it, and the effect was there in their life. It's a life of convenient Christianity. Pray this quick prayer, do this quick thing, bam, I'm in, I'm good, and I'm going to go on and do these things that I want to do and build my life there. That's not real Christianity. It's deep with God. It's deep in the Word. It's a deep foundation of repentance, of holiness, of life, a real life with God that cannot be shaken when the storms come. And so, finally, the two outcomes here. We'll close on this. What happened? Well, verse 25, here's the house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Here's the other house. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell. Great was its fall. You guys may have seen in the news in the last couple days that well-known radio host couple over in New York. They hosted this very New Age, modernist, focused, self-help channel. It's called The Pursuit of Happiness. It was devoid of God, as far as I can tell. They were just life coaches trying to help people to have a good, happy life outside of God. They were building the foundation on sand, upon their self-desires, their own ideas, and the wisdom of this world. What happened to them? Troubles came, trials came, difficulties, pain came in their life. And you know what they did? They killed themselves together. The note that was left by the man said, the pain is too great for my wife. I cannot take it anymore. Great was their fall. Great was their fall. They're in hell, my friends. Great was their fall. Great was their fall. Do not let the fall of your life be great. That's the end. Jesus is not talking about nice little metaphors here. He's talking about your life and the outcome and end of it. These people, I don't know anything about them. Probably if they grew up in America, at some point they heard the gospel, they heard what God said, and they walked out the door and said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they did that. They were successful for 30 years of their life. But in the end, they built high, foundation was wrong, the storms came, great was its fall, it killed them and sent their soul to hell. My friends, do not let that fall be your fall. It's very important that we consider how we build. The outcomes are very important because Jesus promises here. Jesus promises the storms are going to come. He does. Doesn't matter where you build. If you built on the rock, storms are coming. If you built on the sand, storms are coming. Trials will come in this life. Anyone who's been a Christian or even a human for any manner of time knows that there will be trials, there will be difficulties, there will be distresses that come upon you. How are you going to weather that? That's the important thing. We know the storms will come. What do we do when they come? And I'll tell you this, when the storms come, it's too late to go back. and dig out that foundation. It's too late to go back and try to fix what you should have done in the first place. When the storms come, that's it. You're in that storm. It's like when a hurricane comes and you wish, oh, I should have framed my house better. I should have put more clips on the roof there. You can't go up there in the middle of a hurricane and start nailing straps in there to hold your roof down. It's too late, my friend. When the storms of trials come, now you're going to see what's real and what's not. And it's going to show. It's going to show. If you've been building on sand, you may have been able to hide it from your mom or your dad or your coworkers or the people around you, people in the church. They might think you're just like everybody else, but you know you're building on sand. You can hide that for a little while. When the storms come, my friend, you won't hide it anymore. You won't, and great's going to be the fall. You've been building on the rock. Maybe people aren't noticing that. Maybe people think you're just like everybody else. When the trials come, guess what? You're going to shine like the stars in the heavens because you're enduring through that. Why? Not you, Christ in you. If Christ is your foundation. So remember, the foundation isn't your good life compared to the fool's bad life. The foundation is Christ or self. What do you build on? You build on Christ, it's going to show. It's going to be evidence of that. At the start, from a distance, too. The foundations can look right. Oh, foundation on my house. You look at that thing, it looks straight on, rock solid. But once you start building on the foundation of a life, once you go on from being 18, 20, 22 years old, or being a Christian for a year, 2 years, or so on, if your foundation is wrong, you start building on that thing, more comes on, now, okay, now you got a family, now you got a job, now you got a ministry, now you got these responsibilities, you're building. The higher that house gets, guess what? The more the cracks are going to show from a bad foundation. And it's going to show, my friends. It's going to show. The fall could be into sin. The fall could be into some temptation. The fall could be into some pride or arrogance. But my friends, there's a lot of ministries that are going to go down in flames in that day. There's a lot of families that are going down in this world. And I just urge you, be sure the foundation is in the rock of Christ. And if you're not, if you're building on sand, it's going to show in the end. I have an old friend of mine from the military days. We were deployed to Iraq together. She'd been a Christian for a while. I'd been a Christian for a while. There was a small group of us got together to meet for Bible study to encourage one another. She seemed very encouraging at the start. But you know what? Her foundation wasn't in the right place. There started to be things that showed through, decisions being made that weren't in God's Word. It was what she wanted to do. We went on our separate ways. Years later, she kept building on that self, building on that sand. She went out there, great was the fall, stripped of her command, committed to a hospital, all manner of things. Now she's being kicked out of the military. Why? Great was the fall. She had not been building on Christ, but on her own desires, her own wisdom, and not submitting herself to the wisdom of God's Word. And so, I'll just leave this with you here. How are you building today in your life? Are you building on the rock that is Christ? Are you submitting your life to what God says, to His Word? Or are you building on the sand and making up a religion in your mind that lets you do whatever you want to do? That bends God's Word around to fit what you want to do, how you want to live? My friends, you keep on that way, the storms are coming. I'm going to warn you here, the storms will come. Young people, you don't think it's going to happen to you. It will happen to you. How are you going to stand in that day is largely determined by what you do now in your life. Even older people, you've been through storms. Maybe you've been building on sand and there's been a fall. You can come back. Start building on the rock. You can repent. There is yet forgiveness in God through Christ. But I'd urge all of you, realize you're in one of two categories. You're either building on the rock or building on the sand. And I'd ask you to ask yourself, how are you building today? Because it's going to show in the end. And it's not just, okay, I'm going to have troubles here in this life and I'll ruin my family or my ministry. Christ is talking about eternal matters here. Because one day, that judgment's coming. The judgment of God. It's all going to come. And if your hope is not grounded solidly and firmly, faith in Jesus Christ, on Him, and that's evidenced by obedience to Him, and you've been building on sand, you got a false profession, you're saying, Lord, Lord, but not doing what He says. My friends, it's not just a matter of some trouble in this life. It's a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of what waits at the end with the judgment of God. So what did he say to those who said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? He said, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Those are fearful words. And yet, we have today. We're all alive here today. Praise God. And if we're not building right, we can change that. We can fix it. We can come to God and confess that to Him and start building right. And if we are building right, keep on that road. Don't be turned to the left or to the right by the temptations of this life and by the conveniences of this life that would have you to cut corners. But submit yourself to God. So, I ask that we just pray to close here. Father, I pray to you. I pray these words would be clear, that they go out as a sharp two-edged sword, as an arrow to the heart, Lord. Have mercy upon those here that have been building on the sand. Have mercy, Lord, upon those that are deceived in themselves. And Lord, have mercy upon those that are faithfully building upon the rock, that they would dig deep and continue building their life on Christ and not upon that which will crumble and fall. Lord, I thank you for your word, that you make things so clear in a world of much confusion. I pray you just help us to be clear in these things today. Help us just to worship you here as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Can you pass this down? Let's stand as we sing our song and respond.